today. Why Maria Ressa, one of the Philippines' most prominent and well-respected journalists, is facing 6 years in prison.
I wasn't in the office when they were raided by the National Bureau of Investigation.
This is Carmela Fombuena. She's a journalist who writes for The Guardian, but she also works for Rappler, an online news organisation that has gained a reputation for exposing corruption and for fighting fake news in the Philippines. Their office in Manila has been repeatedly raided since 2017.
This visit was live streamed on social media. I think Rappler has learned, in order to fight back, it has to continue showing what the government is doing.
We'll go to the NBI.
What President Rodrigo Duterte's government is doing has been described by human rights organizations as a blatant attack on the free press.
It's a shock, but we're going.
Rappler's editor, Maria Ressa, who is one of the country's most famous journalists, has been arrested multiple times and last month was found guilty of cyber libel. She faces up to 6 years in prison, leaving Rappler's journalists feeling exposed.
Makes you question how far this government is willing to go just to shut it down.
From The Guardian, I'm Rachel Humphreys. Today in Focus, Maria Ressa and why freedom of the press is under threat in the Philippines. Carmela, tell me about Rappler's editor, Maria Ressa. Who is she?
Maria grew up in the United States and she studied at the Princeton University. But she came home back to the Philippines in the 80s, right after the dark martial law years, to become one of the first journalists to experience the freedom under the new democracy.
What had changed in the country and what then was it like for journalists working at the time?
The Philippines suffered the dark years of martial law.
I, as your duly elected president of the Republic, use this power, which may be implemented by the military authorities, but still is.
When there's a lot of brutality, there's a lot of killings. The dictator, Ferdinand Marcos, ruled with an iron hand. And among those things that he did was to curtail freedom of the press. He shut down television networks. He attacked the journalists. In the 80s, in 1986, we had the People Power that ousted Marcos. And it brought back democracy to the country.
The defense minister of the Philippines and the second in command of the army are holed up in a fort surrounded by friendly troops demanding that Marcos resign. The fort is surrounded by civilians also, including women, Catholic priests, nuns, supporting the mutiny.
The Philippines would eventually become one of the freest press in Asia. A lot of the journalists who suffered through martial law, they're saying a lot of the things that Marcos did during martial law, how he started those attacks on the media, it's what's happening again right now under the Duterte regime.
When did you first meet Maria?
Maria has always been one of the Filipino journalists I looked up to.
Both the workers, the aid workers, and the people say that hope dies with each passing day. The death toll is now at 900.
So she was CNN bureau chief in Manila and Jakarta. And she was reporting at the time on the links of Al-Qaeda to the jihadist groups in the region. That's how I came to know her. But in 2005, she set aside an international career to lead the news department of ABS-CBN here in the Philippines. It's the largest television network in the country.
Narito na nagbabagang balita sa oras na ito.
I got to know her when she formed Rappler in 2011. So I got to know her personally. And she's down to earth and very generous with us young reporters. She explained to us her vision of how she wanted Rappler to be. Because she understood very early that social media is the future. she realized she had a book from Bin Laden to Facebook, which discusses this understanding of how networks have been used by terror organizations to sow terror. But she also understood that the same networks, the same social media can be used for great things. That's why for Rappler, social media is an integral part of the reporting, because you have to make journalism accessible to people.
Manila, meet Rappler.
To let them know how they can help in improving the country.
You no longer have to wait. It's here. It's in your hands. All Rappler wants to do is to help magnify your voice.
You were part of that small initial team at Rappler. What kind of stories were you all writing about at that time?
The Rappler website was live in 2012. It coincided with the historic impeachment trial of the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the Philippines, who was later convicted and removed from office.
He has betrayed the public trust. He cannot be Chief Justice a minute longer.
So this was one of the big stories covered by Rappler when we were just starting out. We did a lot of stories about the impeachment trial, about the prosecution, and about the defense. And one of these stories, written by our researcher, Reynaldo Santos, was about the Chief Justice using the vehicle of a businessman, Wilfredo Keng. The researcher went to the Land Transportation Office to get documents on who owned the car that brought him to the trial in the Senate. It raises questions about the ethics of the Chief Justice. Why would he use a vehicle that he doesn't own, that is actually owned by a businessman?
And that article would come to have huge significance for Maria and Rappler in the future, in part because months after it was written, a new law was approved in the Philippines which criminalized online libel with tough sentences. What did you make of that at the time?
Rappler was one of the organizations that raised alarm about this new cyber libel law. So we knew that it was a dangerous law. Obviously, we didn't know that it will actually be used against Rappler in several years to come.
Let's fast forward to 2015. Rappler has been established for a few years, and you're covering the 2016 election campaign in the Philippines. A little-known candidate, Rodrigo Duterte, was running. Who was he and what did you make of him?
Rodrigo Duterte has always been an interesting character.
I am running for the president because I am so disappointed. Ang sad sa ruling na yan.
I was actually in the UK during the 2016 presidential campaign. I was doing my master's, but I was still helping out in the coverage, mostly to crunch survey numbers. So I was surprised by Duterte's rise in the polls. He was the mayor of Davao City in southern Philippines. He was popular, but his rise during the campaign was really sensational.
He was having this surprising success and wasn't as well known as some of the other candidates, but he and Maria's paths had crossed several times. She'd interviewed him in the 80s, and then she spoke to him again during that campaign in 2015 in an interview in which he made some pretty unbelievable revelations. What did he tell her?
So Duterte gave Maria Ressa a lot of exclusive interviews during the campaign.
What is this yearning in Filipinos for a strong leader? Well, what do you think of this?
Well, I would say that what you say in public, you must do. So never, never say something in public that you are reluctant to do.
And he would make a lot of promises, and he would also make a lot of revelations. When he said he would address criminality in the country because he would kill the criminals, he would take it a step further and say, I've actually killed.
So no qualms about killing killers?
Yes, of course. I must admit that I have killed. They 3 months early on, I killed about 3 people.
It's part of his style. Obviously, we don't have proof. Violence is always part of his language.
So Duterte becomes president.
Davao City Mayor Rodrigo Duterte has secured more than 15 million votes, claiming victory in this year's presidential election race.
What does he do, and what stories does Maria Ressa's Rappler find itself reporting on?
So when Duterte became president, a lot of things changed. And a lot of the things he said during the campaign, which we thought was just bluster, he actually tried to do. And the number one thing he did was to implement his drug war, the same drug war that he implemented as mayor of Davao City.
We chase through the dark streets, a gun battle with cops reported down the road. In the 7 weeks since Rodrigo Duterte was sworn in, more than 1,900 people have been gunned down, a third by police, two-thirds by unknown balaclavaed killers.
I mean, sure, he said during the campaign that he was willing to kill, to rid the country of illegal drugs. But I guess you kind of think there are institutions that would make sure that the rule of law will prevail, that something like that is not going to happen. But no.
Fernando. Clarita Alia says Duterte's drug war destroyed her family. She shows me photos of her 4 teenage sons, all killed by vigilantes.
So in the first year of his presidency, we saw this violence. Violence on the streets. And in the name of his drug war, dead bodies were all over the streets.
Were these stories being well covered in other areas of the Filipino press? Or was Rappler a bit of an outsider in the kinds of stories you were writing?
Most of the media reported on the killings, including Rappler. But he was particularly pissed with Rappler. And I think this is because a lot of his followers online would blame Rappler for supposedly feeding lies to the international media. One of the stories that got the ire of the government is a tally collated by Rappler showing how many were dying in the drug war. And they claimed the numbers were false, but they were actually numbers based on reports from the police. So at that time, in the first year, there have been around 6,000 already. But the human rights groups have a different tally, which is higher. And there were groups who estimated it to be as high as 20,000.
How did Duterte respond to these stories that Rappler and other news outlets were reporting on?
Duterte, as early as the first year of his presidency, had been very adversarial with the media because of the reporting on his drug campaign. So he even threatened the biggest newspaper, the Philippine Daily Inquirer. But it was clear, as in 2017, that Rappler was his primary target. In July 2017, in his State of the Nation address, in his first year in office, where he was to tell the people what he achieved in the first year.
And yet the Constitution requires you to be 100% media Filipino.
It was then that he claimed Rappler was fully owned by Americans.
Rappler tried to pierce the identity and you will end up American ownership.
He was going to pierce the identity of Rappler and expose that it's not 100% owned by Filipinos, which was the requirement under the Constitution.
That accusation has been fully denied by Maria Ressa, but it must have put Rappler, you and your colleagues, in an impossibly difficult position.
For sure. I mean, we didn't know what was happening, why Rappler was being targeted. Again, we're used to the adversarial relations between the media and the government, but this was something else. And just a few months after, in January 2018, that's when the Securities and Exchange Commission canceled the license of Rappler to operate based on what Duterte accused Rappler of for allegedly violating the Constitution and the anti-dummy law. It's also in January 2018 that Rappler became aware of the cyber libel case filed by businessman Wilfredo Keng over the story that Rappler published in 2012.
We were charged with tax evasion about 6 months after we received a prize, an award from the government for being a top corporate taxpayer.
It's also in the same year, later in 2018, that tax evasion charges were filed against Rappler.
In addition to that, to make this charge, they actually had to redefine Rappler from news organization to a dealer in securities.
So it was not just the cases. Maria was attacked online by accounts threatening to kill her and to rape her. Reporters too got harassed, but Maria got most of it.
From October to November, I received an average of 90 hate messages per hour.
Maria, being the journalist that she is, she investigated what was happening.
Let's go to this one. So this is the evolution of it. Me to the RP government, make sure Maria Ressa gets publicly raped to death when martial law expands to Luzon. It would bring
and this was the beginning of the series she wrote about patriotic trolling. And this was used not just against her, but other critics of the government.
The first is you attack credibility of whoever the target is. You allege corruption, and then you repeat that exponentially. Because if you say a lie 10 times, truth can catch up. But if you say a lie a million times, that becomes the truth. Second, the second step always is to use sexual violence. We've seen this here repeatedly in the Philippines. It inflames biases, fuels misogyny, and then degrades the target as a sexual object. We've seen this again directed against many women. And then finally, the last step before taking it into the real world, because there have been four waves of these types of attacks. Hashtag arrest Lila de Lima. Last May, I saw hashtag arrest Maria Ressa.
And we'll show Maria herself has been arrested multiple times since 2018.
Good, fingerprinted, seventh time. See you at the mail.
Tara.
What was it like to work at Rappler while all of this was going on?
Maria set the direction from the beginning that we will continue to operate despite the harassments from the government. Her marching orders to us is to continue what we're doing, is to continue reporting on what was happening in the country, to not be affected by all of this noise. That she is going to deal with that while we continue our work on the ground.
Coming up, Maria ends up in court. But first, I want to thank every single one of you who's voted for Today in Focus in the Listener's Choice category at the British Podcast Awards, and to ask one last time that if you haven't yet, we would love it if you consider supporting us. The deadline to vote is today, so go right now to britishpodcastawards.com/vote. Thank you! Carmela, Rappler has faced at least 11 government investigations and court cases. But what landed Maria and her colleague Reynaldo Santos Jr. in court last month were charges of cyber libel relating to that 2012 story that Santos wrote about the businessman Wilfredo Keng. That story was published before the cyber libel laws were even enacted.
Mm-hmm.
So how did this happen?
It's very creative what they did with the cyber libel case. The article was updated several years later to correct a typographical error. And they're now claiming because there was a correction to the story, it's considered republication. It's really a bizarre case. In fact, it was already dismissed in the beginning, but it was reviewed and filed again. So the history of this case is really odd.
Kathy, we're just hearing from our colleagues inside the court that the Manila court has convicted Rappler CEO Maria Ressa of cyber libel. We're trying to find more details, but the breaking news is that the Manila court has convicted...
Maria was found guilty, a verdict that was described by the National Union of Journalists of the Philippines as basically killing freedom of speech. President Duterte has denied the case is politically motivated. What will happen to Maria now?
She was sentenced to a maximum of 6 years in prison. If that ruling is not overturned, that's what she could be facing. And that's just one case. I was surprised by the ruling. Somehow I thought, I hoped, you know, that it won't happen. But it did.
Maria is now out on bail. And after the verdict, she gave an interview. How did she respond to what had happened?
Sa mga Pilipino nanonood po.
So there was a moment in her interview when she turned emotional.
Freedom of the press is the foundation of every single right you have as a Filipino citizen.
She's been very strong throughout all of this, but Maria is also an emotional person, but she's been braving through all of this. So I can just imagine how difficult the ruling had been for her. But she continues to fight, and she said as much, that she won't drop the ball, that she will continue to fight back and wherever it brings her. So they've already filed an appeal, citing about a dozen errors in the ruling of the judge. So that's where we are right now.
Rappler isn't the only journalism outlet that's being singled out by the Duterte government. What else has been happening?
So the cases continue, and it's clear by now that the government was setting an example with Maria. They wanted to threaten other journalists that if they're gonna be critical of the government, they'll face the same.
We are meant to be a cautionary tale. We are meant to make you afraid. Right? So, I appeal again. Don't be afraid. Because if you don't use your rights, you will lose them.
Right now, the government has also forced the shutdown of ABS-CBN, the biggest television network in the country, which is at the moment fighting for its survival. So we're in this situation where the Philippine media is really fighting for its independence.
How do you feel about reporting now, Kamari? Are you more wary in light of what has happened to Maria?
No. When the government tried to set an example with Maria, the good thing is Maria really did try to set an example, and that is how to push back. And I think, as bad as the situation is right now, I think she's inspired a lot of people to fight back for the freedoms we enjoy. And I'm not talking just about press freedom. One of the big stories right now is the anti-terror bill. So this new measure allows up to 24 days of warrantless arrests and up to 90 days of surveillance. Human rights groups have raise alarm over this measure because they said it may be used against critics of the government too. People have to know what is happening, and without freedom of the press, people won't know.
Kamala, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was Kamala Fombuena. You can read more of her reporting from the Philippines at theguardian.com. Thanks to her, and also to Miles Martignoni for his work on today's episode. It was produced by Elizabeth Kassim, and the sound design was by Axel Kakutier. The executive producers are Phil Maynard and Nicole Jackson. Anushka will be back with you tomorrow.